Okay, this discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. First of all, who is Nicodemus? He's a Pharisee. And we're told earlier on in the gospel, as they begin their conversation, we're picking up midstream. Early on, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Night. And in the Gospel of John, he uses all kinds of imagery that you don't get in the other Gospels. And one of those things has to do with light and dark, night and day. And so those things that happen at night are either evil, the demonic, or they are things that need to be obscured and hidden. All right, so remember that Jesus is extremely critical of the Pharisees for very good reasons. And they don't like him much. And if you're a member of the Pharisees, if you're a Pharisee as well, it would be difficult for you to go to Jesus without being adversarial. So Nicodemus comes to him at night, so perhaps he is hidden or, you know, cannot be seen. And he comes to the Lord and he begins to ask him, of course, questions about who he is and what is he up to, right? And so the Lord, that's where we pick it up. The Lord says that he will be raised up, which is true. He'll be raised up on the cross. He also says that he has come into the world to redeem the world. He has not come to the world to condemn the world. He has come to redeem, to save all of those who God gave him, right? And then he moves on talking more about the light and darkness. He's very clear. This is the verdict. In other words, no more discussion. This is the verdict. The light came into the world, Jesus, but people prefer darkness to light. Why? Because their works were evil. For anyone who does wicked deeds cannot stand the light. That is, they cannot stand Jesus. And they don't want to come closer to him. Why? Because they love their evil and wickedness. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light. So there is where I want to dwell. Those who live the truth come to the light. Jesus, God, of course, believes that objective truth exists for everyone and covers everyone. Now, when we look at our current culture, that is not the disposition of most people, particularly young people who have been fed all of the lies of postmodernity, that truth is actually subjective and not objective. The difference is I create truth for myself, subjective. There are truths that exist independent of whether they're accepted or not, and independent of individuals, objective truth. And, you know, the reasons why this is happening are relatively obvious, but the main reason is because of what Jesus says, right? Because when people start to live evil, they start to live in sin, they start to call sin good or evil good, they start to call illness health, right? They drive further and further away from godliness. People begin to live in evil and in untruth, which are equitable terms. Untruth is evil. Evil is untruth. So, let's confront this. I have just decided that I am a dentist. And I will be taking appointments this week. I've had no training, but I have a toolbox. I have my dad's old rusty tools. Well, they're not that rusty. I've got saws. Somebody told me last Mass, Father, you probably shouldn't use a saw for dentistry. And I said, doesn't that make it more absurd? So I have saws and hammers and chisels and drills. Deacon said he wants a root canal. He'll be my first. No. But I've decided that with my mind determines reality, subjective. Therefore, I can determine who and what I am independent of any other reality. So I'm a dentist, right? And I'm going to start to perform dentistry. I think it's spring break for a lot of you kids, so line up and we'll see how that goes. Now, why am I using an absurd? Because it's one of the best ways to form an argument is to take it out of the emotive and into a sort of absurdity. Because naturally you would say, well, you can't do that, Father. You know, there are laws governing dentistry. I mean, you can do it to yourself, but as soon as you start to call yourself that and start to publicize it, you are subject to laws and governance and regulation and all the rest. It's a good point. But nonetheless, the problem inherent is this, that the created seek to become the creator. The problem inherent in postmodernity, radical subjectivism, all of this stuff, is that individuals seek to become God and mentally seek to determine reality for themselves, even independent of reality as things truly are, as though we can construct reality merely in our minds. So when we follow that through, there are all kinds of problems with it that I think we feel and sense, but you know, we've been sort of forced to conform. I mean, if you're in any kind of school at this point, you are forced to conform to this nonsensical belief that individuals create truth. And furthermore, to assert a truth that is objective for everyone is actually seen as an act of violence. In our culture, we call it intolerance, but in other countries, they're just straight up and they just say, no, to assert objective truth is an act of violence because it leads to intolerance. And after all, the greatest good in our cultures now is being nice to one another. Not loving each other, being nice to each other, being tolerant, allowing other people to live in their realities that they have constructed. Now, let's go back to the garden, right? Adam and Eve. Now, this is a sort of allegory to teach us deeper truths. It's not about the tree. It's not about the fruit of the tree. It's not, these are symbolic of other things, right? Because you don't, bring evil into the world because you ate from the wrong tree. It's not about the tree. It's not about the fruit. It's about what was tempted of our first parents. And Satan taught human beings his sin. Right? We believe that the reason why Satan fell, was thrown out of heaven, is because he sought to be like God. He sought to claim for himself one who has created what can only be given to the Creator. It's impossible to even claim that or snatch that. And then that's what he taught to Adam and Eve, our first parents. No, the reason God doesn't want you to do this is because he knows you will then become like him, knowing good from evil. Poetically, what is being conveyed here, the temptation is to be able to determine for oneself what is good and what is evil, to place oneself in the position of God. This is Satan's sin. It is the foundationally demonic act that anyone could have, to claim to be God. That's what it is. The postmodern lie that we can construct reality and truth for ourselves is truly demonic. That's where it emanates from. That's what we believe as, well, not just Christians and Catholics, Jews as well. It is not, and even Muslims, it is not for the created to try to seize for themselves what is only properly God's. And inevitably, culture is going to fail because of it. And that's where we're at, right? So the more that the culture moves away from truth is because it's already moving away from God, who is the, if you will, ultimate truth, objectively. And the more that we forsake that in our culture, the more everything else crumbles. You know, you might also kind of look at other things in our culture. For instance, you know, we talk about the mental health crises befalling so many younger people particularly. And there's many different reasons, I think, for that, which are valid reasons. But I think one of the reasons is because people have been told to accept pathology as health. You're not really sick, right? Because you're choosing that for yourself, whatever it is. I'm not just applying this to one thing. It could be many things. And when we stop telling the truth, then there's nothing to overcome. It just merely has to be accepted. But to accept pathology and lack of health as though it is health creates incredible conflict within the person that then you lose the ability to deal with. You know, you have cancer. Well, that's okay. I choose it. I want it. It's just another way to grow cells. No, you're not healthy. You need to go after that and fight that. No, I just need to accept that. That's my own reality. No, that's not. It's that kind of thing. And it can be applied to many different things as a whole. And so as soon as we start to claim for ourselves what is God's, we run aground and we move into collapse. What is needed is for us to live by the truth. Now, this becomes difficult, not just because our culture is collapsing, our Christian culture, but it becomes difficult because so many things have and people have failed us. I mean, if you just go back, I don't know, 40, 50 years, you know, look at how, you know, politicians have failed us, or, you know, the media has failed us, science has failed us. All these people have lied to us. The church, meaning institutionally, has failed us. And no doubt we failed one another. So when we're seeking the truth, where do we turn? When we seek the truth in a collapsing culture, and when we really have an inability to trust institutions that we used to and people, where do we go? Well, we have to start over. We have to go back to the beginning. There is one who will never fail you. He will never fail us. He will never lie to us, and he will never lead us astray. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. We have to go back to the beginning. We have to believe that what the Lord says to us is actually true, both of himself as well as human nature. We have to trust one guiding light in a world filled with darkness. And this is who he claims to be. Following him is not merely about just some sort of affectation. I feel better when I go to church. I mean, that's good, but it's about truth. Finding the truth, seeking the truth, doggedly pursuing the truth in a world that doesn't want you to find it, and not being afraid. Because the darkness preys on fear. We will not be afraid. We will choose to not be afraid because we have Jesus Christ. We have the light guiding us in the darkness. Now, at this late stage of Western civilization, is not the time for cowardice. It's the time to stand up for truth, to proclaim the truth without fear, to proclaim it well and with charity, but to proclaim it, to stand in it, to live by it, and to never give up on it. This is what Christ asks of each of us. And no doubt, it's what the world and we ourselves desperately need. Please stand.